Today's shir is for schus, for full shlema, for shalom and bracha. Today's shir is mesachta ksubas daf nun beis. We will begin on daf nun aleph on the beis at the beginning of the new perek. We had learned in our previous perek, daf lamates, that a mefata, if somebody is mefata, a girl, the halacha is that he has to pay boishes begam and kanas. And Oinus pays Tsar as well. We furthermore had learned that the Boishes is paid Hakol Fiyah Mavayish from his Bayish, depending on the person who did it and who is being embarrassed. And the Pgam is determined as how, if this woman was sold as a Shifcha, how much has her value depreciated as a shivcha? And the knas, as we had learned, is a standard amount by everybody. Says the Mishnah Narsh in the Sparata, if we have a girl that was a victim of a pitui, bashta upgamo knasa, all of the various payments that we just identified, all of them are shalavia. They all go to her father. Tsar, the payment of Tsar, which is paid by the Nusa, also that payment as well goes to the father. Tfusa is the word that's used to describe a Nusa. Rashi says, because the Pasuk says, V'safsa v'shachav ima. So the Knas that is paid to the father is explicit in the Torah. The Torah says, V'nosan ha'ish ha'shoichiv imo la'vi ha'naro chamishim kesef. Boishes ha'begom, we learned on daf mem, go to the father. Since the father could have married her off to a menuvel mukashchin, and at that point he would have been able to collect payment for that, as we explained when we learned that Gemara. So that's why the boishes ha'begom go to the father. The anusa, the tsar that's paid by anusa, is also that since the father could have married her off in a situation which would cause her pain, and he has the right to marry off and collect money for that, so that's why the tsar goes to him as well. Says the Mishnah, Amda Bedin, if this Nara was had it in Torah, that means they claimed from the Oinus and the Mefata whatever they're deserving of. Actually, Mesa'av, and then before, so the Din Torah took place before the father passed away. And then he passed away, Harei, and so they go to the father. Mesa'av, if the father passed away before the money could actually be collected, says the Mishnah, Harei and Shalachim. They go to the brothers, because it's considered as if it was money that the father collected. And since it's considered money that the father collected, when the father passes away, the halacha is that money is something that is a Yerusha, and that goes to the children, his sons, who are his Yorshim. There's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos when we speak about this payment that was initiated while the father was alive, but wasn't collected until the father passed away. What are we talking about? So Rashi says that we're only speaking here about the knas. When we speak about the boishes begam, they're always considered mamon, and all the distinctions that we're about to learn in our Mishnah, if it happened, what happened before the father died, what happened after the father died, according to Rashi, are not relevant to the Begoshes Begam. However, Tosfos disagrees. And Tosfos says that the halacha of the Begoshes Begam is treated the same way as whatever the halacha of the Knas is. Says the Mishnah further, Lo yispika lam bedin, if the father, the Din Torah did not even commence at Shemei Sa'av, before the father passed away, Harein Shalatzma, then she collects the money, it's and not her brothers. The Mishnah doesn't differentiate in this halacha between Anusa and Mefuta. And it seems that doesn't make a difference if the father was not alive, b'shas the din Torah, when the din Torah began, the money always goes to the Nara. So the Rishonim ask, we could understand by an Anusa why that payment would go to the Nara, because she certainly never willingly agreed to what happened here. So his father, as long as her father's alive, so the Torah gave that money to the father. However, once the father is not alive and he passed away before there was a din Torah, that's why we understand that that payment will now go to the girl. But, as the Rishonim, when we speak about a mefuta, so if the father is alive, so we understand that the father makes a claim for that money. But if the father is not alive and she's asking for the money, now the question is, we don't understand. She participated in this act. So since she participated in the act, why should she be entitled to any payment? And therefore, says the Ramban, that when we just read in the Mishnah, Harei Hein Lam Atzma, the Mishnah here, that then only applies if the girl was a mefuta, but anusa. But if she was not anusa, if she was a mefuta, she would not be entitled to any payment because she willingly participated. The Rashba, however, says that this then even applies as a mefuta because when the act actually happened, the payment really didn't go, wasn't belonging to her. It really belonged to her father, who obviously was not a willing participant in this act. So she's, says the Rashba, taking the place of a father, and therefore, even though she was a mefuta, she would be entitled to the payment. Amd b'din, if there was a din Torah before she became a begeris, harein shalav, then the money that's paid and the father's still Baruch Hashem alive, that money goes to the father. Meisav, but if the father passed away, before the actual collection, harein shalachim, because it's considered money that's owed to the father, and since it's money that's owed to the father, the brothers are the yarshim of that money. However, says the Mishnah, lo yispika lamed bedin, if the din Torah did not commence at shebagra until she was a begeris, harein shel atzma. Even though at the time of the oinus she was still a nara. And as we've been learning in our shiurim, a girl who's a nara, the payment goes to the father. Still, the Torah says, v'nosan ish, hashoychev ima lavi a nara, v'loy lavi a begeris. And therefore, our Mishnah is teaching us that if this din Torah took place after she became a begeris, the halacha is that the money goes to her and not to her father. If Shimon Omer, Imlai speaker Ligvois, if there was not able to collect the money until the father died, the case that we mentioned earlier, or the same din Rav Shimon would say, if Imlai speaker Ligvois at Shebagra, so it's not considered like mumin that the halacha is that it should go to the father's yarshim, the sons, but rather, in this case, Rav Shimon, disagreeing with the Tanna Kamma, holds it goes to Shel Atzma, the money goes to her. Says the Mishnah, Mas Yudea Umitziyasa, the work, the earnings that a girl earns, a Nara earns, or some if she finds something, Api She Loigavsa, even though she didn't collect the salary as long as her father was alive, and she only collected a salary after her father died, Meisav, and then the father died, Harein Shalachim, that money is considered money that belongs to the father, and since it's considered money that belongs to the father, the brothers are the Yorshim of that money. So we learned in our Mishnah, the Narash and the Spatata, Boishta Knossa Shalaviyah, and the Tsar of an Anusa also goes to her father. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmalan, what is our Tana teaching us that we haven't already learned? Because Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, on Daf Lama Tesam and Aleph, Hamafata Noisin Shloisha Dvarim, Vainus Arba, Hamafata Noisin Boisha Begam Kunas, Moisel of Oinus, that the Oinus also pays the Tsar. So the Gemara's question is, that everything we learned is already learned in the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, what the Mishnah is teaching us is Lavia Yitzchuchle. It's coming to teach us that the father gets the payment. And that flaw explains that, of course, it's not speaking about the payment that the Anusa gets paid. Because that says the flaw, the Knas of an Anusa. Because that says that flaw is also explicit in the Torah, that that payment goes to the father. Rather, explains that flaw, that the Torah does not explicitly say the payment by a mefuta goes to the father. And that's what the Gemara says the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Another way that flaw is coming to teach us, that the Mishnah is coming to teach us about the Boishas Begam, that even though the Boishas Begam is not stated explicitly in the Torah that it goes to the father, the Mishnah is coming to teach us that it goes to the father. But ask the Gemara, Lavia Nami Pshita, it's obvious that it goes to the father. Midika Yav Mefata, since a Mefata has to make these payments, and if the payment would be made La'atzma, if the payment would be made to the girl herself, Amai Yav Mefata, why would she be entitled to it? Bidata of it, she willingly participated. And since she willingly participated, that's why she should be entitled. It must be that the father gets it, and he obviously didn't participate. So Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil Avia, asks, maybe we're speaking about the girl who was a mefuta was a ketana. And when the girl who was mefuta was a ketana, we cannot say that she was a willing participant because she doesn't have the mental capacity, as we know throughout Shas, to be meichel. So the fact that a mefata pays boishes begam is not a proof that it should go to the father. So Tosfos answers that the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph spoke about a menara. So we see that the Mishnayos here are not speaking about a ketana, whereby ketana we can make an argument that the explanation that the Gemara just gave, that since she's a willing participant, she shouldn't be entitled to payment. Because by a nara, because by saying it's a ketana, she's not a willing participant, we see that the Mishnayos are talking about a nara. And since the Mishnayos are talking about a nara, it's a raya that even, and that's why we have to say that the payment goes to, that's why the Gemara says that it's poshit that the payment goes to the father, because she's not entitled to the ketana. Kiveger says a different explanation. Kiveger says that the Gemara knew that the Mishnah is not referring to a ketana, because the Mishnah says, that we learned on the Aflamites, that a ma'anis is compelled to marry his victim and not a mefata. Says Kiveger, if the Mishnah is referring to a ketana, then even by mefata, he should have to marry her. So Kiveger says, there's a rule that the Gemara mentioned many times, and that rule is that pitui ketana oinasu, that when a ketana participated, it's still considered like an oinus. If the Mishnah that we learned on Daf Lamed Tes says that by an oinus he must marry her, and by a mefata he doesn't have to marry her, it must be that the Mishnah is talking only about a nara, not about a ketana, and that's why since she willingly participated, he's not obligated, so it's a pitui, not an oinus, and he's not obligated to marry her. The Rishash disagrees with Kiveger. And Kiveger, and he says that even though pitui ketana oinusu, there's still no obligation that if a man was mefata a ketana, that he would have to marry her. Because he explains that the halacha that a Ma'anis has to marry her, the Torah says, V'loi si'el isha tachas asherina. Explains the Rishash, what does the Torah mean to say? That there's a special punishment that's put on a person who is Ma'anis, who violated a girl, tachas asherina, for the act of being Ma'anis her. Whenever that act doesn't take place, where it wasn't the act of violating a girl, then that's not going to be a case. That's not going to be a case where you have to marry her, even if we say pitu ketana oinus here. So we have a very fundamental machloikis. If somebody was ma'anis, somebody was mafata, a young girl, a young ketana, would there be an obligation to marry her? According to Rabbi Akiva Eger, there would be, and according to the Rishash, there would not be. Says the Gemara. So now that that's the case, we're back to our question. What is the Mishnah? What is the Chiddush of our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amda B'din. The Chiddush of our Mishnah is that if the Din Torah took place while the father was alive, and then the father passed away, Itzruchalei, the Mishnah comes to teach us the Machloikis of Rav Shimon Rabbanan, that we learned in our Mishnah, in our Gemara, and we learned in our Mishnah, a Machloikis between Rav Shimon Rabbanan, who will get that payment? Will the payment be considered money that's owed to the father? And since it's the mother, it's payment that's paid to the father, that's money that's owed to the father, the surviving sons, the sons yashin it, or is it considered money, that's the opinion of Tanakama, or is the money that will go to the girl herself, the opinion of Reb Shimon? That's going to be the case that we're speaking about. The Marik has a very interesting discussion. He says, if somebody was Mefata Nara, the way he did it was by saying, have relations with me, and I promise you that I will marry you. And after that, they had the relations, and then he said, Meshatin Nibach, and I didn't really mean it. So the question is, how does the halacha look at that situation? Says the Marik, that the halacha looks at that situation that the Gemara here just said that the mefata pays the payment to the father. So says the Pasuk, so the Gemara is teaching us that since we could have explained the Mishnah speaking about that type of a case, the fact that the Gemara doesn't say it, that's, and in other words, what the Gemara is saying, says the Marik, is if that would be a case that she's obligated to get paid because it wasn't Midata, because he fooled her, so we could have come up with a case where she maybe is deserving the payment. The fact that the Gemara didn't come up with that example, says the Marik, that's still considered a case of Mefata, and she's not entitled to payment. The Beis Meir disagrees with Marik, and the Beis Meir says that in that case, the halacha of Mefata would apply, says the Beis Meir, and the Beis Meir, the halacha would be that she's entitled to the payment because it can't be considered that she willingly participated in the act in that case. The Torah speaks about Asham Gzeilus. Asham Gzeilus means that if somebody asked somebody, said to somebody else, you owe me money, and he says that I don't owe you money, and he swears falsely that he doesn't owe the money, and then afterwards he admits that he owed the money. So the Torah says that he has to return the amount of principal that he owed. He has to add a chaimish, and he has to bring a carbon asham. That's the carbon asham that's known as the sam gzeilus. So says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam, the Mishnah Masechta Shavuos says that the father approaches a man and says, "Anasto petita spiti, you did oinus a pitu in my daughter. Vu I'm a loy nesti v'loy petisi, I did not." And then he says to him, "Mashbiachanei, I make you swear that what you're saying is true." Vama amen. And as the Gemara Masechta Shavuos Daf Chav Tes Amibayz teaches us that when somebody says amen, when he's sworn to a shvua, it's considered as if he made the shvua himself. And then he does admit that he lied with that shvua, and he did do the act of oinus apitui, chayiv. He has to pay the karen v'chaimish. Rav Shimon says that he doesn't have to, because l'vshedim misham knas up piatzmai. Since we learned in our previous year that there's halacha that moidav knas is pater, that if somebody is moidav a knas, he doesn't have to pay it. So therefore, it's not considered that he denied owing money. In other words, Rav Shimon says that when it's mammon, when it's money that I owe you, and I falsely swear that I don't owe you the money, and then the halacha of the sham gzeilus kicks in. But if what I'm denying is not mammon, if what I'm denying is knas, he says that the halacha does not apply in that case. Amalai said the chachamim to Rav Shimon, Abishenim sham knas apiatzmai, even though we'll agree to you that by knas, the knas is not considered mammon, and since knas is not considered mammon, the halachas of mammon don't apply there, amishalim boishes begam apiatzmai. Boishes of begam are considered mammon, and therefore the halacha of a carbon shvua applies to them. Says the Gemara, Bominai, ask the Gemara, Bominai by my rabbi. Zabai asked Rabbi, if somebody says to somebody else, accuses someone else, Anasto petitas bite, v'malticha bedin, you did this act, we went to din Torah, v'neschayafteli, and you owe me, v'neschayafteli mammon, and Bezdin says you owe me whatever Bezdin declared you owe. V'hu aymer, loy anasti v'loy petiti, v'loy malticha bedin, v'loy neschayafteli mammon. He denies everything. V'nishba, and he swears falsely, with a haida, and then he admits that he lied with that shvur. Rav Shimon, according to Rav Shimon, that we just learned that Rav Shimon's opinion in the Mishnah Masechta Shvuos says that the knas is not that somebody who denies and swears falsely regarding knas is not considered a case for which there's the din of a carbon shvur sham gzeilus, because the halacha is kiloy maidai of nifter. My, what would be the halacha in this case? Do we say kiven damim b'din? At what point is it considered a knas? It's only considered a knas until the din Torah took place. Here, the din Torah did not take place yet. The din Torah took place already. Once the din Torah took place, and Bezdin paskin that he owes the money, so now even Rav Shimon will agree, mamayna havi, this payment is in the category of mammon, and since it's in the category of mammon, b'chayv lo karban shvuah, the dinim of karban shvuah apply. Oidilma, perhaps, asks Abaya, afgav da amid b'din. Still, since it originally emanated as a knas, it's treated like a knas, and the din of karban shvuah doesn't apply. Amalei, so Rava responded to Abaya, m'mayna hava, in this case, Rav Shimon will agree that at this point it's in the category of mammon, or mechayev la karban shvua, and the dinim of karban shvua apply. Eisvei, so asks Abaya, and the Rashba makes a very interesting point. Abaya asks a question from Rava, from a brisa, that deals with this issue. So asks the Rashba, if Abaya knew this brisa, why did he ask any question? And the Rishonim therefore explained, the Rashba therefore explains, that that's the derech of the Gemara. That even if the Abaya was well aware of a brisa that discussed this issue, he still wanted to discuss the issue and see what Rava had to say about it. So now Abaya asks, the brisa says, Rav Shimon Amar, Yochal Oimel Chavera, Nasto Petitas Biti. Somebody approaches someone else and says, Nasto Petitas Biti, Vu Oimel Loi Nasti Veloi Petisi. Or somebody says, "Hey, Misharchas Avdi, your animal killed my Eved." And as we discussed in previous shir, that the Torah says that under all circumstances, when that happens, he has to pay Shloshim Shkolim. Voimer loy Hamas, and he denies and says it didn't happen. Aisha Amaloi Avdi, an Eved Knani approaches his owner and tells him about the shina v'simisis einai. You knocked out my tooth. You blinded my eye. And the halacha is that under those circumstances that he has to go free. Voimer, and the owner denies and says lo yibalti v'lo yisimisi. It never happened. V'nishba, and he swears falsely to the person that was challenged. Swears falsely to the challenge, and then v'hoida. And then he admits that he swore falsely. Yochel Yechayiv, we would think that the halacha of Karban Shvuah kicks in. Tamaloymer, the pasuk says, in the parasha of Karban Shvua. The pasuk says, "V'kiches b'amisa b'kadam b'chumas yad abigazol ayoshak es amisai ametz aveid v'kiches b'ay v'nishba asheker ma elu." If we look at all the cases, all the examples that the Torah speaks about as examples of where the din of Karban Shvua applies, all of them are examples of situations which are miyuchadim shem mamon. They're all mamon and not knas. Af kol shem mamon says Reb Shimon that the only time a Karban Shvua applies is when the claim is a claim for mamon. Yotzu elu, the examples that we just spoke about, are all cases of Karban Shvua, and therefore doesn't apply. My laugh, and suggest the Gemara, isn't that Brisa speaking about a case of She'eved Bedin? And since it's Amid Bedin, we still see that it's still considered Knas. So that was the question that Abaye posed, that when Reb Shimon holds that these are cases of Knas, and since they're cases of Knas, Karban Shvua doesn't apply, we see that Reb Shimon still considers them Knas even after Beis Din declared their decision. Says the Gemara, Loi. That's not the way to understand the Braisa, but rather the Braisa is talking about a case of Shloi Amid Bedin. But if it's Amid Bedin, the halacha is that he is indeed going to be chay for the dinim of Karban Shvua, because Rav Shimon very well will agree that once it's Amid Bedin, that it's already in the class, it's already in the category of Mammon, and it's no longer considered in the category of Knas. So here we see, as Tosfos, that when the Eved has a claim against his owner, that a Shvua is in order. But as Tosfos, the very masculine Palti, the Gemara says in more than one place in Shas, that Avodim could cause him, that Avodim are considered like a cause, and the Aloch is, the Ein Nishbon al Karkos. We don't make Shvus with regard to Karkos. So as Tosfos, how could there be such a claim to make a Shvua? So one Teretz, Tosfos suggests, is that if Shimon follows the opinion like of Rameyer, Rameyer's opinion is that Nishbon am Avodim, that Avodim, you do make a claim regarding Avodim, you do make a Shvua. It's interesting, however, the Ktsois asks, that the Rambam quotes this Gemara, that you would make a Shvua, but the Rambam also holds that Ein Nishbon Malkakos. So how do we understand the Rambam's opinion? Says the Ktsois, this rule that we say, that Ein Nishbon Malvodim, is only if I come to somebody else and I say to him, you're holding on to my Eved. The person, the Eved that you're holding on to is my Eved. So there the halacha is that the Ein Nishbon Malkakos, that's not a din Torah that comes with a Shvua. However, says the Ktsois, that if in a case where Eved comes to his owner, and the Eved claims from his owner, I deserve whatever I deserve. I deserve to be freed because Hipalta Shini Semisis Ene. So there, we're looking at who the claim is being made from. And since the claim is being made from a Ben Chayrim, the claim is being made from the owner, that's not going to be a case that's considered of Ein Nishbon al Avodim, and the Shvua would have to be made. So the Gemara said that even though that Braisa indicated that there is no Shvua Sa'edis, that's Karban Shvua, is because it's all talking about the Shloi Amid Bedin. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Braisa is referring to a situation of Loi Amid Bedin? Ask the Gemara, Amid Reisha, we're going to see that the ratio of that Braisa is referring to a situation B'Sha'amad B'din. So isn't that clearly indication that the Sefer Nami is also talking B'Sha'amad B'din? What's the raya that the ratio is talking about Amad B'din? Says the Mara, the Tani ratio. We learned the ratio of when we explained the opinion of the Chachamim. Ainly, we only know that a person has a right, there's a din of carbon shvuah, el dvarm shemesham alayim as a keren. Only if he denied something that involves keren. Teshlumei kefo, teshlumei rabo chamisha. Hamayinus from Fatima to Shemra, menayin, that how do we know that in these cases there's a din of carbon shvuah as well? Tamalayma, the pasuk says, in the parish of Karban Shvua, Umar Mal, the Torah uses that double language of La Umar Mal to say that even in a case of Kefil, the din of Karban Shvua applies. And the Gemara explains what does this Braisa mean to teach us. Hey Chidami, exactly what is the Braisa coming to teach us? Idalam Bedin, if there wasn't yet a din Torah, Kfeilami Ika, why would there be a Knas? The halacha is, as we discussed, moed b'knas is potter. So since he's moed b'knas, there shouldn't be any knas. If the person would admit, he wouldn't have to pay it altogether. El pshita, how must we understand the braisa? The braisa is speaking about b'sha'amad b'din. There was already a din Torah. And the braisa is teaching us that once there was already a din Torah, it's not, the Rabbanan teach us that it's already not considered knas, it's already considered like mammon, for which there's a din of carbon shvuah. So says the Gemara, if the Rabbanan are speaking about a case of amar b'din, sefer nami b'amar b'din, it must be that the sefer is also speaking about a case of amar b'din. So how could you say that the Rav Shimon in the sefer is referring to a situation of loy amar b'din? Amalei. So Rabbi says to Ba'al Yochanan l'shinu yilach, I could really answer you that the Reish is talking about a case of Amar B'din, and the Sefer is talking about a case of Loi Amar B'din, and I would explain that the entire Braisa is following the Kula Reb Shimoni. The entire Braisa is following the opinion of Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon is going to differentiate, says Rava, that before Amar B'din, it's in the category of Knas. And since before Amar B'din, it's in the category of Knas, there's no din of Karban Shvuah. However, once it was Amar B'din, it falls into the category of Mammon, and there is going to be Karban Shvuah. However, I don't want to give you an answer which is a difficult answer. If I'm going to give you this answer, you're going to say to me that if the entire Braisa is just representing the opinion of Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon makes a distinction between before Amar B'din versus after Amar B'din. So if the entire Braisa represents just the opinion of Rav Shimon, so then the Braisa should have begun either, listening Reisha, I'm Reisha, we should have begun the Braisa with the words Rav Shimon Omer, or we should have concluded the Braisa, or listening Sefer, Divrei Rav Shimon, if it's all just the opinion of one Tana Rav Shimon. Elo, because of this question, I have to say, says Rava, this is the way I'm going to explain the Braisa. Kula b'shamad b'din. The entire Braisa speaks about the case that was already in Torah. V'reisha Rabbanan. The Reisha represents the opinion of Rabbanan. V'seifa represents the opinion of Rav Shimon. U'medina loch l'inyan karban shvua. As far as the karban shvua is concerned, that even though it was after Amar B'din, the Rachmana Patre, even though it was already a mod of a din, it's still not going to have the din of Karban Shvuah, because the Torah, when it spoke about the cases for where the Karban Shvuah applies, uses the word the Kichesh. The fact that the Torah uses the word the Kichesh, the Torah is teaching to tell us that if, as long as the payment is a payment of knas, it doesn't make a difference if there was hadin, if there was hamad b'din, or there wasn't hamad b'din yet. The kikamina, and when I said that after hamad b'din, it is considered mammon, it's only larisha labanov. In other words, what Rav is saying is that they're two separate halachas. Yes, after hamad b'din, it falls into the category of mammon. And therefore, if the father would die, the money would go to his sons, the Yarshim, and not to the daughter. But as far as the special din that we'll be learning in our shir of Karban Shvuah, that din of Karban Shvuah doesn't apply. Because the Torah, by using the word v'kicheh, says that if the money began as a chi of knas, something, payment that began as a knas payment can never turn into mamon as far as hilchas karban shvua is involved. Eisvei asks Abaye to Rava, the Mishnah said, Rav Shimon Omer, if the money wasn't collected until the father died, the money goes to her. But you just said, says the Gemara, that you agree as far as the money being considered mammon to give to the Yarshim, the father's Yarshim, that once there was Hamadah Bedin, the money falls into the category of mammon, and that if the father dies, his Yarshim will get the money, not her. So why does the Mishnah say La'atzma Mai? Why does the Mishnah say it goes to her? The Achim Bay Mahevi. It should go to the brothers. Even you, Rav Shimon, agree that that's the halacha. Says the Gemara, Amram Rava, Hamilsa. This question that Abaye posed to Rava, Kashbe Rava Rav Yosef, Esim Tatan Shnin. Rava and Rav Yosef had this question for 22 years, Vloy Ifrit, and they weren't able to answer it. Ad the Yosef Rava Rav Yosef Bereisha until Rava passed away, and after Rava passed away, Rav Yosef became the Rosh Yeshiva or Pirka, and he answered it. And I saw a beautiful pshat. What does the Gemara mean? Rava was known to be the Lamdan. Rav Yosef was known to be a Sinai. Rav Yosef was known to be a person who was a Baki, who knew a lot, but he wasn't known as a Lamdan. So this question, they waited for 22 years. They never had an answer. When Rav Yosef became the Rosh Yeshiva, and people were questioning his credentials to be the Rosh Yeshiva, is he enough of a Lamdan? They showed that this question, the moment he became Rosh Yeshiva, he was able to answer. Another pshat that I saw is that as soon as a person is appointed to a position of greatness, he gets a special siyata d'shmaya. So at the moment Rabbi Yosef was appointed to this special position, he had a siyata d'shmaya that was able to answer this question. Upirka, Shani Hassam, when we speak about Oinus Mefata, Domakrov and Nasan Isha Shaykhiv Imoy Lavia Narach Amishim Kasev, Lezachsa Torah, La'av, the Torah gives the father the Knas, El Meshas Nesina, only as the moment when the money is paid. And if the father is alive, then the money is paid to him. The Chicha Merava Memoina Larisha Lebonov. But that's a special rule, says Rabbi Yosef, that applies by Oinus Mefata, that the Torah connects it to Venosan. It's not considered his mammon only when he actually receives it. And if he receives it and then passes away, of course his Yarshim will Yarshin it. But if he didn't actually receive it before he passed away, then that mammon will not go to his Yarshim. When Rava said earlier, V'chikama Rava, the knas after Hamad B'din, Mamoina Hava L'Rish L'Banuf, that it does fall into the category of Mammon, that the sons get it, is talking about different knas, not by Oinus Mefata. Elama'ata, says the Gemara, since the Torah used the word Nesina, so you're learning that whenever the Torah uses the word Nesina, it means that the obligation only begins when the money is actually paid, Gabi Evid, the Ksiv, the Torah also uses the word Yitain. The Ksiv uses the word there, Kesef Shloshim Shkolim, Yitain La'adonav. Hachinami should we say, Lo'ezich Satayr La'adon, El Meshas Nesina. We should say the same explanation. Answers the Gemara, there's a difference between Yitain L'chod and Nosan L'chod. There's a difference how the Torah expresses it. If the Torah says, the Torah by Oinus says V'nosan, that the Torah says until V'nosan, until it's actually given to the father. But the Shloshim Shel Eved, the Torah says the word Yitain. The Yitain comes to teach us that as soon as you're obligated to give it, that's when it becomes the father's. So the Chasam Sofer says, with this distinction, that the Gemara says Yitain L'chud, V'nosan L'chud, we could understand the Berachas HaTorah. We say Ashenosan Lanu. When we make Berachas HaTorah, we start Ashenosan Lanu Torah's MS, V'chaya Oilam Natav Zechenu. So we start with Nosan, a Loshen Avar, and we conclude the bracha nice in atayra a lashon haiver. So he says, why do we use this mixed tense in expressing the bracha? Says the Chasam Sofer, what we're really saying is that when we say the Birchas HaTorah, we're saying there are two elements to the Birchas HaTorah. One element we're saying is, Ashanasan Lanu, we're thanking Hashem for the Torah that He gave Klal Yisrael by Har Sinai. And then we say, Noisein HaTorah, we're thanking for the opportunity to We thank the Eibishter for the opportunity that we have Torah and we learn Torah and we could be mechadesh chedusha Torah. That's a bracha for the current. Ihachi says the Gemara that now that we have learned that according to Reb Shimon, there's a difference by knas of oynos mafata because there the Torah says v'nosan and therefore it doesn't become the father's until it's actually paid. So why did Reb Shimon, when he said in the Braisa, say the reason that there's no carbon shvua? Because he said, the pasuk says v'kichesh, tamalaymer, the reason is not based on the word v'kichesh. The reason is because the nosman b'ayle, that it's not considered mammon until the father actually gives it. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav ki itzra v'kichesh, when does Reb Shimon need the word v'kichesh? Kigoyin, to teach us another din. The din of kigoyin sh'am de b'din, there was already a dentira or bagra, and she became a bagaris, and then vermesa. And then she passes away, and before the knas was actually paid, the hasam in that situation, kikayaris avia, when the father is getting the money, he's not getting it because the money belongs to him. The money is being paid to him because he is the yairish of his daughter. Mene the day. Kayaris. And therefore, the halacha is, when it's money that's owed to her, their halacha is, then the money is paid to her, and maybe I would say it's not considered a knas, maybe it should be considered mammon, and there's no carbon shvua. That's what Rekiche says, that it's still knas, and there's no chiv carbon shvua. Says the Gemara, Ihachi, if that's the case, the Braisa says, that if there was a Hamad Bedin and Bezdin paid him, Bezdin said that they have to pay the Knas. So Reb Shimon said, Yotza Elu Shem Knas. But says the Gemara, Mammon, why is it not considered Mammon? Why could he get away with it? Amram Nachma Yitzchak, Yotza Elu Shikrun Knas. In other words, the Gemara's question is, at this point, it's not Knas anymore. It's Mammon. So why are we calling it Knas? Answers the Gemara, the reason it's called knas is because it was originally a knas payment. Eisvei asks Abaye to Rava. The Mishnah Masechta Shavuos teaches us, Rav Shimon Paiter, Rav Shimon says that if the man denied, the man who was accused of being an oynos mafata denied, he says that he doesn't have to pay, that there's no din of karban shvua, because she'ein mishalem knas al pi atzmai. Since if he would admit that he did it, he wouldn't have to pay it. So that's why it's not considered a case of carbon shvua, because the case of carbon shvua is only applicable in a case where you must pay the money. But here, he's a way of getting off the hook of not having to pay the money. That's why the halacha is that he doesn't have to, that there's no din of carbon shvua. But what's the Mishnah saying that the reason there's no din of carbon shvua is tamid ha'amad b'din. Doesn't this Mishnah clearly indicate that ha'amad b'din, that if there would have been already ha'amad b'din, the mishalma piatzmai, he doesn't have any more the exemption that if he's moida he won't have to pay it. The carbon shvua nami mechayiv. But we're learning in our shir that Rav Shimon holds that even after ha'amad b'din, it's still considered a case where there's no carbon shvua. Says the Gemara, the way to understand that Mishnah is Rav Shimon Ledevreim, the Rabbanu Kamalu. Rav Shimon speaking to Rabbanim, he says, Lidi, according to my opinion, Afgav the Amad Bedin, even if there was Hamad Bedin, Rachmana Patre. The Torah says there's no din of Karm Shvua because of the special limit of a Kichish. Ela the Tchu, according to your opinion, that you don't agree to that limud. He says to them, Oidolimis, at least agree with me that Hechadali Amid Bedin, if there was no Ahmadah Bedin, the Chikava Tava Kanosuka Tava, then at that point, before the Ahmadah Bedin, it's certainly only in the category of Knas. It's certainly in the category of Maida Beknas. That's Potter. And certainly on that, at that point, you should agree that the din of Karban Shvuah doesn't apply. Because Maid Beknas is Potter. Says the Gemara, Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan disagree. And they say, Ki Katava, Boshes Begam Katava. That the father, when he approaches this man and says, Anasto Petita Zbiti, is not really coming for the Knas. Because on the Knas, say the Rabbanan, your point is very well taken. He could exempt himself from the Knas because by being Maida Beknas. So it could certainly not be considered a Mammon claim. But say the Rabbanan, that's not what the issue here is. The issue here really, they say, is regarding the Boishas Begam. And the Boishas Begam is the Mammon. So what the Gemara and Rav Shimon would have to agree with that. So what is the Machloikis now, as the Gemara is about to explain the background, the understanding of the Machloikis? When the father approaches this man and says, Onasto Petita Azbiti, what is his claim for? Is his claim for the Boishas Begam, which is Mammon, or is his claim for the Knas, which is not Mammon? And the difference would be, will the din of Karban Shvuah apply? The Maikam of Ki, and what is the basis of the Machloikis? Omer HaPapa Rav Shimon Sover, Shavik Inish Midi the Kots, the Tavi Midi the Loi Kots. The Knas is a firm amount, Chamishim Kesef. So the person knows exactly what he's asking for, and that's what he's going to be his main claim. The Boishas Begam, as we explained at the beginning of our shir, is a subjective claim. A person would rather focus on a definite claim versus a subjective claim. And Rabbanan Savri, L'shavik inish midi d'ki moide bei loy mifter, v'tava midi d'cha moide bei mifter. The Rabbanan understand that the knas is not a payment that will be definitely paid. Because as we just explained, if the person is moide bei knas, he wouldn't have to pay it. So say the Rabbanan, a person would rather make a claim, even though it's a subjective claim, but it's a definite, it's a claim that he knows he's certainly entitled to, versus the claim for Knas, which he knows the person whom he's claiming it from has a way of getting exempt by being Maidab Knas. So it turns out that everybody agrees that the Boishas Begam is subject to Karban Shvuah. And the Knas should not be subject to Karban Shvuah. The question is, what is the claim primarily for?